This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
He's Pauly Pabst from the DP show. Ryan Bates, folks, has an arthritic condition in his shoulder.
Mom has that. That's what my mom had. If you have the same condition as my mom, and she's calling me all the time, she's texting me, she's out in Orland Park. What do I do? Who do I call? I don't know, Mom, but I'm worried about Ryan Bates' shoulder right now. I love you. I'll see you on your birthday, but I got to get Ryan Bates' shoulder fixed up.
Will you excuse us for 2 seconds? I'm so worried about it's a dog thing.
Rondale, he's
so kinda, silly.
Oh, no. Sorry. He's got a virus.
He's very ill.
Arthritis. We think it's so arthritis. It has hips.
Texters wonder if the Bears should maybe just start your mom at right guard.
She can backpedal a little bit. I don't know if she could hold her ground in a tight situation.
Human beings that large should not run as fast. And if you like people just abusing other humans.
She's not a Kelsey type. I don't think she could do that type of play.
Had some issues at the combine, right? Like, didn't want to work out for everyone, right? Wasn't that, there was a thing with the character issues, right?
Right. She's the only offensive lineman there wearing bifocals. You know, she drove up in like a Hyundai.
There was one scout that liked that a lot. Reminded him of himself.
Hard up about that.
When the time is right, hopefully I'll either upgrade the ride or take care of my Camry.
Did your mom do a lot of hanging with Laramie Tunsil pre-draft?
Yeah, I can't confirm or deny that, though, but she's more of an edibles type.
Perhaps you remember your first edible.
Dave wants that Ryan Bates with the arthritic shoulder condition. That's what Paul Papp's mother has, arthritic shoulder condition, and she's not available to dress.
Not available, but Coach, she's a grinder. She would go in there and pass block for you.
She would. She's definitely got her genes.
I scouted her, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Coach, didn't you try to redshirt Paul's mom like Aaron Donald?
No, not Paul's mom.
There was one room with the light on at Pitt.
That's right.
It was Paulie's mom in the weight room.
Hey,
throwing weight.
Paul, these guys, it's tough to get any. You can see it's tough to get any serious work done here. But
as we bring out the Chicago offense,
Caleb Williams, the real USC,
DeAndre Swift, Georgia.
Paul's mom, Roll Tide.
Oh my God. I had forgotten just how much that day when I worked with Paul Pabst that we worked his mother's arthritic shoulder into like a variety of situations, like the depth of bits that it ended up being a part of. We've got on tape, Paul, and Paul joins us right here in studio. We've got Dave Wanstead scouting your mom as an offensive lineman.
Yeah, that was a thrill for her, but what a terrible son I sound like. I was making fun of my mom's hip, saying I prefer the Bears' hips to be healthy than hers.
Yeah.
Terrible son.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the price of doing business. Everybody's content when you get into this business.
I like that Ryan Bates was the biggest issue for you, too. Like, I love that as a simpler time when all we thought with the Bears going into the seasons, it's the big Coleman Shelton, Ryan Bates competition.
competition at center, and then the Bears are going to be fine.
Yeah, Maddie, that was week three. I think that was late September, and our biggest concern was, are they going to get to London on time? That was the biggest concern.
My goodness, it's crazy what a year we've had. It is the Spiegel and Ohm Show. It's Spiegs and Mark Grody, and that's Paul Pabst, executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show.
Yeah, I think so.
And also host of The Tailgate here on the weekends on The Score, and Chicagoan in town, hanging out, has a new place in town. He's told me that we're going to give the address out.
Yeah, everyone's welcome.
On air, and you're having a party, right? It's a winter party.
Yeah, I'm inviting everyone in the building, and Mitch left, so he doesn't make the cut.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm the only guy who goes to Chicago for his February week off and enjoys this. Everyone else is going to Cancun, going to Florida. I want 2 degrees, and I want to get pizza.
Well, this is the way. You just had some pizza. You just had some Aurelio's out there.
I grew up on Aurelio's. I grew up in Glenwood, Illinois, and we used to go to the Homewood Aurelio's, the original, when we were kids, and it's still the place that every couple of years I come back to, I try to go over there.
There you go. See, your favorite pizza is the pizza you grew up on.
And you can't be objective about it.
No. And you shouldn't be expected to be objective about it.
I grew up on PC East Pizza Cottage. Remember the Pizza Cottage? Like out in the suburbs, the western suburbs. There's a couple of those.
Like LaGrange?
But no, like Itasca, Addison, Roselle. But yeah, PC East, that was my place.
Yeah. I grew up on a kind of pizza that you can only get in Trenton, New Jersey, these tomato pies. But the closest is Armand's.
And
Armand's pizza reminds me of the pizza of my youth, and so that's my go-to.
Nice. I know we got other things to get to, but
being
a guy who's from Chicago and lives outside of Chicago for a long time,
yes, sir.
There's interesting anger around pizza discussions in Chicago, because my friends who have never been to Chicago, they go, I'm going to Chicago for the first time, where do I eat? And I tell them the places that the new people to Chicago should eat, the traditional deep dish places that
they're
a bit touristy, if that's not a bad word to say.
That's okay. Yeah, it's delicious pizza.
It's still great pizza.
It's great pizza.
It's more for the Chicago experience of that as your first time.
So you can say you've done that.
100. Because Chicago does deep dish like no other city in America.
You got to remember, you're talking to a guy, I live downtown now, right? Or in the South Loop. So I avail myself of all things downtown. Shane says that I act like a tourist from Ames, Iowa. I'll tell you, Shane, you know where we went on Saturday?
Cindy's Rooftop?
No. Keep guessing. This is good. I had Ruben and my nephew. No, almost went there.
Rumalnati's.
No, not a restaurant.
But Ed DeBevick's.
No, a Chicago attraction.
Wendell Tours.
No.
The Bean.
Close.
Dickas?
Keep
Dickas?
Going. You're getting there.
He went to the ice skating rink.
No.
Park. Maggie Daly Ribbon. Skating
no.
Ribbon.
No, this is good.
The Billy Goat? The William Goat?
No,
you went to
further out into the lake. Further out into the lake.
You went to Buckingham. You went to Monroe Harbor.
We went to Navy Pier.
You went to Navy Pier.
We went to Navy Pier.
It's lovely. It's lovely in February.
Navy Pier is exhausting.
It was outstanding.
Oh man,
it was perfect for our needs.
Oh man,
went to the Children's Museum. Did the flyover thing again, which is absolutely awesome. And Christine hadn't done it. It was phenomenal. Spent $50 on candy at It's Sugar.
Awesome.
You know what I mean?
It's Sugar. Like, it's so blatant now. It's like, we're not going to mess around. This is where you come for Sugar. Sugar.
Right.
Sugar.
Just, here's your shovel.
Sugar. Come on in.
Here's your shovel. Go ahead and fill your little container.
Before we move on, I heard you guys talking movies.
We're never going to move on.
Oh, by the way,
I'm
sorry.
This is what we're doing.
I need a moment.
What are we moving on from?
I meant White Cottage. That's the name of the... Does that make any more sense to you? Okay. All right. Go ahead, Paul. What were you going to say?
I heard you guys talking movies. A question for the room.
White Cottage, that's racist.
What was the movie your parents or somebody took you to way too early of an age?
Oh, man.
Improper.
I have a good answer for this. I saw Risky Business with my mother.
Okay.
Yeah.
With your mother?
With my mother. I saw Risky Business with my mother. And when Rebecca De Mornay, when there was like a train scene on the Chicago, on the L. There was love on the L. And that was it was a very awkward moment between me and my mother.
Wow.
I had a very responsible mother. She did not approve of things like that. Did not happen on her watch. Very strict.
Nothing.
Nothing. But I guess I could add that the movie I first saw that I shouldn't have seen was Porky's.
Well, what age were you?
Probably 12-ish?
All right.
11?
You're on the cusp of
10,
being...
Between 10 and 12. It was... Woo! For that, for where I was, some of the things, going on in that movie. Woo! Oh, man.
All right, I got one. I was 6 years old, and we were in Calumet City, which is shaky already, and we were living down in that area in Dalton, and my dad took us to a movie, about six of us, my cousins, and we saw Jaws. at age six.
Okay.
I wouldn't get you were a little young for that.
A little young. I was six. I wouldn't get an in-ground. I wouldn't. Our neighbors had an above-ground pool. I wouldn't get into an above-ground pool where I could see the bottom. There's no sharks.
Have you watched the video of the guy? Was it from Ecuador and his son who got swallowed by a shark? Oh, no. I don't think it was
whale.
Ecuador.
It was a whale.
It was a whale.
It was more of a whale.
It was more of a whale situation.
Did you complete the process?
Yeah.
What's with the process?
The whale did not complete the process.
Yeah, spin it. Like, I guess, like, whatever a whale's form of spitting something
didn't
out
make a football move.
Yeah, upon review.
No, was that a football
the
move?
The whale did not make a football move.
Not a football move.
I agree with that. Much like Dez Bryant. The whale did not. He is Paul Patton.
More like Dez White.
He is he's executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show. How was Super Bowl week? How was New Orleans the Super Bowl week and Radio Row and the whole schmear?
New Orleans is built for the Super Bowl. It's a city that's open like 23 hours a day. You can eat, drink, do whatever you want, but it's also kind of spread out. And you can go places to eat, you go places to drink. They have a huge convention center, tons of hotels. They're built for events that are party events. It's built for that. It didn't feel like anything gigantic was going on. There's lots to do there. It's a lot different than the old days, though. The teams are so secluded. You didn't see the Eagles players very often. You didn't see the players. No one goes out and parties like the old days, but New Orleans is built for this. I've heard a couple things that New Orleans is going to get in the rotation more often, where not 9 or 10 years, more like every 5, New Orleans could be in play.
And do you think they should in terms of the way it's set up?
Zero doubt. In late January, early February, it's 70 degrees. It's 50 at night. It's built for it. They're a perfect city for that.
What was the best guest interaction that you guys had this particular time around? And yes, I'm asking as a guy who hasn't been to a Super Bowl Radio Row in far too long.
It's, you know what it was? The one that stood out to me, I talked to Jalen Carter of the Eagles at media night.
Before he got sick.
Yes, before he got sick, or I helped. he's one of the biggest humans I've ever seen, and I've seen Shaq in person, but he's bigger, and he's not just a huge defensive tackle. He's like fat-jacked, where he's like big, but not heavy and not huge, and just a gigantic guy. And I remember thinking, like, man, I kind of wish the Bears would have got this guy.
Well, that's the thing.
And it's tough to see it. Because at the time, I understood the offensive line pick. It's the right strategy. But when I saw Jalen Carter and saw what he does to people, you're like, wow, that guy's nuts.
Do you think that entire thing is aged poorly or not?
Jalen Carter?
Yeah, because they didn't have the Eagles' infrastructure. Like, it's a nature versus nurture thing. It's like, would he have been the pro that he's been these last couple years in a Bears infrastructure that was clearly chaotic?
And also, there were bad things going on with Jalen Carter. It's not like it was nothing happening with him. And some of the stuff ahead of the combine, some of the workout that he had where it was like everything had fallen off the table. So he was not physically right nor mentally right. So, of course it's aged poorly. I mean, of course, you would like to have that player over Darnell Wright. Yeah. God bless Darnell Wright. But that player is better. But at the time, I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, Mark,
I think
you're right, because it's easy to hindsight say they should have taken the player who became the Pro Bowler. The strategy was to take a good offensive lineman, and it looked like the right move, and it still is a right-ish move.
It still might be the right move. We were talking about that today, I think, we were talking about the podcast. The possibility of, sorry, I did the podcast today. There's conflating. There's conflating.
I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, where did I say this?
I'm Dan Wiederer.
We talked about it today, Dan.
Yes.
It's not out of the question. Like, Dan brought up the possibility, could Darnell Wright become your left tackle? Now, in theory, you look at it and say, well, he's been pretty successful at right tackle, but not successful enough that you say, oh, you're too comfortable there. We can't move you. So that's one interesting thing to look at potentially once the OTAs hit.
But Matt, there's one thing. When we're getting close to the draft-ish, it's still a ways away, but for Bears fans, this draft is a biggie. Three picks in the top 40.
Yep.
If you go back and look at last year's draft, that draft still bothers me, and it bothered me day of. And it's not against the players that they drafted. Roma Dunze, I loved him in college. I think we all loved him. He's going to work out. He's going to be a very good wide receiver for the Bears. But Brock Bowers was on the board. A once in 10 years tight end. And I don't care that you already have Cole Kmet. Didn't the Bulls get Michael Jordan because the Clyde Drexler was taken?
Yes.
Sam Bowie.
Yeah, they don't want a redundant player. Yeah. Brock Bowers was the pick there. And they
especially
passed.
In a league that has multiple tight ends.
Right. And then you take an offensive lineman from Yale. No offense. I watch Yale games. I go to them. I live out there. That's a project pick. That's a risk pick. That's a
It's a gluttonous pick.
Yeah, it's a luxury pick for a team that could afford to develop an offensive lineman. And then, as good as Taylor is the punter, taking a punter in round four is what the Chiefs should be doing, or the Eagles should be doing. That's a luxury pick. The Bears went with three picks that didn't really... They had too much downside when they could have taken safer offensive linemen from the Big Ten. And that's when you look at this draft. The last draft bothers me more now when I look at it.
Well, you know, we're asking Ryan Poles to learn from his mistakes, and we're trusting that he can learn from his mistakes. And I'm okay with it because there is a lot of good that he's done, too. There are a lot of good picks that he's had. But there's a lot of conceptual stuff that is problematic. You're right about that draft. You're right about those picks. And also, his offensive vision was dog crap. Yes. To allow it to be left up to Matt Eberflus, who had no offensive philosophy whatsoever, and then chose Shane Waldron. And for Shane Waldron to come in here, and they clearly built from the outside in.
Yep.
And expected that that was going to work, that they were going to scare teams with their rookie quarterback and three wide receivers into respecting the run.
Yeah,
and that's not how it works.
We were on, I think I was on your show in August, and we talked about having blinders on, and the offensive line will figure itself out. We talked ourselves into it. But if you look at Ben Johnson's now with the Bears, and when he was building the team, they were building the team with Detroit, they got Penei Sewell. And then they had that draft a couple years later where they took Jameer Gibbs about 10 picks earlier than it should have been.
What is going on?
Remember how much they got critiqued, Mark?
Sure. I was one of them. What the hell are they doing? Ha, ha, ha. Look at Detroit.
Yeah, they took a middle linebacker a round too early, and people were making fun of them, but they stuck with it. And Sam Laporta on an offense that didn't score touchdowns. That draft got crushed.
Yeah, well, we were just talking to, I don't know if you listened to the interview that Spiegs did with Mike Valenti, and he said, look, hey, Ben Johnson's a guy who is going to want a playmaker somewhere, and basically saying not ruling out that pick, that 10th pick in the first round.
Oh, man.
Now, I'm not saying that they're going to go Ashton Gentry, the like top running back in the country, that you know, there are pockets of people who are like, get that guy, but I'm all of a sudden ready for anything. Ideally, offensive line or defensive line.
Right.
I'm more about the defense right now, but I'm kind of wondering. I mean, we got to figure out what Ben Johnson is thinking. Maybe we'll get a better idea next week at the Combine. We'll see. You'll be there? Will you be at the Combine?
We are. The Dan Patrick Show is going to be at the draft for four days.
Oh, nice.
4 days in Wisconsin in April. Oh. Jealous? Jelly? Toast jelly?
We're going to be there. I don't know if it's official yet. Is it official yet? Can we talk about it?
I guess I don't think so yet, but go ahead.
All right, yeah.
No, hold on. When I was in Green Bay for the finale, that town, like all anybody talks about, like going into the gas station, oh yeah, we're getting ready for the draft around here. We're volunteering. Like the whole town is just crazed about it.
Yeah, if you go on to like Airbnb or VRBO and try to find something anywhere near Green Bay around draft time, it's a stretch. It's a tough putt right now. They're very excited and they're jacking up their prices.
Yeah, imagine if the Bears were based in Kankakee and there's no other teams around and how what a focal point would be. I went to a Packers game about 10 years ago, and as much as a Bears fan I grew up on and taught to hate the Packers, you had to respect their game day experience.
Oh my God, it's a lovely experience.
Yes.
I've been there a few times. One of the times I was there was Jay Cutler's first game as a Bear. Dan McNeil and I doing the show from a bar on the Monday morning after that Sunday night game when Jay had his first game as a Bear.
Interceptions.
I think so.
Why you have to bring that up?
I'm sorry.
Too soon, Grody.
Trigger. It's a trigger, Paul.
Is that the game where he threw the ball into Johnny Jolly's stomach?
Oh.
I might be mixing it up with another Cutler disaster.
Urlacher broke his wrist that game, didn't he?
I think so. Yeah, and
what a great game to attend.
Yeah, it was great. But I tell you what, everybody inside the Lambeau was an absolute delight.
Yeah,
every single person was like as nice and as kind as they could be, just all happy and very excited to be Packers fans.
You know, and I didn't like the game day experience is great. I went to the Packers Bears game here. I actually went to the tailgate because I couldn't get tickets, so I just hung with my friends at the tailgate.
Uh-huh.
But if Packers fans, you don't feel like you're going to get punched in the face if you're a Packers fan going to Soldier Field. It's like an enemy that you're not going to go too far with. But
a Packers fan going to Soldier Field, you don't feel like the Packers fan would get punched in the face? I'm afraid the Bears fans are a little more aggressive than the Packers
Bears
fans.
Bears fans would punch Bears fans in the face.
I've seen things. You know,
like, I guess I was on Waldron Deck that day, and maybe everyone was in a good mood.
But the Waldron Deck's a different, that's a nice vibe, the Waldron
foo-foo.
Deck. Yeah, absolutely foo-foo. You're not going to get the fights there.
And it hates wide receivers.
It's more after the games in the parking lot.
It just doesn't run the ball, Shane. It doesn't run the ball.
Shane, what's the bar in Chicago you're most likely to get punched in the face at?
Probably a Wrigleyville bar from some frat boy, like Sluggers or something like that.
Or like the store on Halstead
back in the day, maybe. Yeah, a Winnetka frat boy. Some North Shore kid whose parents Ubered him down to the game. He had beers in the bleachers and then he tries to hit me in the batting cage.
Yeah. Right. He's got to get back to Lake Forest.
Yeah. Obviously.
No, I mean, I would never hit anyway.
North Shore Winnetka frat boy.
He's not from Winnetka and he wasn't in a frat. Okay?
There's no reason to clear that up, Spiegel.
Everything's fine.
Let it hang.
I mean, that's usually what we do.
That's what we do. We don't need context. I don't like context.
Well, Paul, what bar are you most likely to get punched in?
Did you get punched in the face at a bar, Paul?
Oh, yeah. I used to be, when I got out of college, I moved to Chicago. I was living at North Sheffield. I was working for Hub at Pro Football Weekly. And to make ends meet, I was a bouncer, air quotes, because I couldn't bounce anybody. I was a doorman at Sedgwick's, right by Gamekeepers.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And I got punched in the face once. The guy came... I was grabbing his friend and trying to pull his friend off someone, and this guy came from the back and did a roundhouse, hit me right on the button, and I had the woo, like a spaghetti, woo, and went down. And I had a white Sedgwick's t-shirt on, and there was a brawl kind of around me between the bouncers and the other dorks. And I got up, and I was like out of it. And there's little marks from people stepping on my shirt. So I didn't do too. I was 0-1 that night, TKO.
That stretch of Sheffield over there, that's like where all the Big Ten bars are.
Yeah.
Right? Sheffield's.
Well, yeah.
Like Kirkwood's, right? And River Shannon, Vaughn's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, and every school has its own bar over there. I forgot you worked for Hub Arkish, yep. Our guy at Pro Football Weekly.
Right out of college.
And hearing that, so were you there when Eric Edholm was there?
Just before.
All right. Well, you're there when Jeff Agrest was there.
He was. I think he took my job. I think when I left, I moved to New York, and I think he was hired.
Mm. So you're never making the top 20.
Yeah. Now he's just in here leaving us all off the top 20.
Oh, actually, I left by choice, which opened up a job for him.
So there you go. So maybe you will.
I'm in the top 17.
maybe that's how that'll work. That is outstanding. How about now? Favorite places to hang out here in town?
Boy, I'm telling you.
What will ye be doing tonight? Uh-huh. Does ye have plans, or will ye be just hanging out at home?
I'm a free. Actually, I'm going to the DePaul game versus St. John's tonight.
Oh, yeah. 8 o'clock tonight on the score.
It's a good team.
Yeah, DePaul, St. John's.
Not DePaul.
Are you sitting courtside,
St. John's is a good team.
I would say I'm row 9.
Oh, okay.
I'm more of a row 9
guy. There were tickets.
I saw that. Did anybody grab them?
There were floor tickets.
Nobody responded.
Honestly, I would have gone if it wasn't 8 o'clock. That's too much.
I'll see if I can change it.
If it was like a 6:30 game, I would have taken.
Oh my god, you're the kind of guy who wants intermission in all your movies. Yeah,
not, not really. I just like on a school night, like 8 o'clock. That's too much for DePaul. That's a commitment.
You don't go to school. Yeah. You're not in school.
Saturday, I got the doubleheader. I'm going to Bowles in the afternoon. DePaul again on Saturday night.
You're going to DePaul twice. You're here for a week.
Wow. Did someone say you had to do that? Did someone like when you got here like, hey, just so you know, you have to go to two DePaul games.
You lost your fantasy league, didn't you? That's punishment.
Chris, when they're in the tournament 2 years, bring this back.
We are DePaul, baby.
I'm in early.
Mark Aguirre's not walking through that door.
Yeah, well, Terry Cummings might.
He might. Yeah, yeah. Mark Aguirre might walk through that door.
I'd set up a Tommy Kleinschmidt.
Hey, Rod Strickland, Kenny Patterson might walk in that door.
It's amazing. Yeah, yeah. You're in Chicago for a week. You're going to see DePaul twice.
There wasn't a third game.
That's the only reason he's not going three times.
In a squad scrimmage I can hit tomorrow?
Yeah, well, you know, we'll amazing. Let you know. He is Paul Papps. Yeah. Listen to the tailgate on the weekends here on The Score. Listen to the Dan Patrick Show, but only when you're not listening to The
That's
Score.
Right.
For God's sakes. Thank you for getting that
it's
right.
Paul.
Paul, good to see you, man.
Anytime.
He is Paul Papps. That is Mark Grody. He's on the clock.
Oh, yes.
Next.
Let's do this. Bears.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.